Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The Action Network Podcast.
I'm just about that action, boss.
Welcome into the Action Network Podcast, presented by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. We are 2 weeks away from the NFL Draft, 2 weeks from this coming Thursday. We continue our NFL Draft betting update episodes. Brendan Glasheen in the host chair. We have Travis Reed joining us, Action Network NFL Draft contributor, also contributes at BetLabs. Evan Abrams, our director of research and media, and NFL contributor Jacob Wayne joining us. We record on Monday, April 8th, our experts have aligned. The stars have aligned for our podcast today as we get ready for the NFL draft. We'll keep this very simple because the Vikings still don't want to give us a trade. We'll hit on Stephon Diggs later in the show. Diggs traded. What does that mean for the Bills and what they might be targeting with their draft picks? Only markets out there right now are first round. When you surf around the sports books into the solar system, looking around at what might be available for your picks this year. We'll go to the quarterback market first and get the latest temperature of that discussion. The market for quarterbacks has been set over under 4.5 quarterbacks, which we hit on briefly last week. I think we mentioned it in passing, but we didn't spend a whole lot of time on it. So we'll begin there. Jacob Wayne, I'll throw to you first. Under on 4.5 quarterbacks is at plus money, plus 200. Some movement on individuals. I was hitting you guys with this before we started at BetMGM. The team to select Jaden Daniels, the favorite is the Commanders at minus 155. The Patriots at plus 175. I'd like to mix in the fact that J.J. McCarthy is now minus 300 to be a top five pick. That number keeps climbing. Where are you at just on the overall quarterback discussion? And that is that price, is there value on that price? Under 4.5 quarterbacks at plus 200.
It's hard to say if there's value or not. I mean, all it takes is one team, obviously, to have a high grade on Bo Nix or Michael Penix, and then they end up in the first round. Definitely going to see four off the board in the top five or so, it seems, with J.J. McCarthy's steam continuing to rise. I'm a Broncos fan. I think I mentioned that previously here. I have a really uneasy feeling that we're going to end up taking Bo Nix at 12, and I'm going to hate it. But Bo Nix currently minus 175 to go under 32.5 on draft position. Definitely seems like he'll end up somewhere in the first round. Maybe the Broncos end up trading down a little bit to take him. But I do think we're going to see over 4.5. I'm not betting it at the current number, though.
I'm glad you brought up that market, though, because if you do believe J.J. McCarthy is a top five pick, you can get under 5.5 draft position at minus 230. So there are numbers out there. It's why it's important to shop and take a look at everything that's being offered, because there are short edges. You can get a better price, save a couple cents. I'll send it to Evan Abrams because you have thoughts on Bo Nix, and it's something you've dabbled in already with the Bo Nix draft position or go in the first round.
Yeah, I bid on that under 32.5, and there's also a 26.5 in the market. So I bought myself a little bit of a middle by eating some juice, since the juice isn't on my side to get the middle, but I gave it a shot, as I think there is a good chance he falls into that zone. If I had to make the bet right now, I'd say five quarterbacks get in the first round and Nix finds his way somewhere in that zone. And I think there's also a fun bet to be made by him not going to Denver. So taking a few nibbles at some teams. One team, I'd be curious what everyone else thought about this, but even like Seattle, I know Seattle's been linked to Penix, but if Seattle maybe traded back, which they've done before, and take Bo, they're 30-1 to draft him. So I thought that was an interesting dart potentially.
Yeah, Penix did visit with the Seattle Seahawks. He had his visit at Pro Day in the city of Seattle with the Vikings, that private visit, which you got to make sure you read that very carefully. He's in Seattle with the Vikings because, you know, Washington is in the state of Washington. Travis Reed, what say you? And just to present the other side of it, over 4.5 quarterbacks at -250.
Yeah, I do agree with Seattle as a potential landing spot, especially Knicks did get a top 30 visit there. So he could go in, play, be the backup behind Geno for a year or so, and then see what you got. It's really tough, though, with those last 6, 7, 8 picks, because those teams don't need quarterbacks, so you'd essentially have to project a trade up into that. But we've seen that a lot before. He's out with Lamar Jackson. Teams really covet that fifth-year option with that quarterback, so you're not necessarily projecting, say, like the Chiefs or the Bills or one of these teams to draft a quarterback. You're saying, okay, they'll trade out and, you know, let one of those other teams move up, get Knicks in there, and that's how you're going to hit that 4.5. I don't think – I'm not on board with like Las Vegas or Denver just selecting one of those guys with their first picks. I think they need more than that. They're not a quarterback away. So if they were, I think that's more likely. But since they're not, I think you're going to have to get that trade up in that late first round to hit that over 4.5.
Am I right on that? That Penix has a visit with Seattle, or is that not the case?
I think he hasn't had a top 30 visit. No.
Top 30. Okay.
Yeah. Bo Nix has, I think everyone's kind of connected the dots just because of the Washington thing, but he has not reported as of yet taking his top 30 visit. Now, maybe that'll come out in the next week or so. Some teams like to keep that little close to the vest. Some teams just let it all out there. So we'll see if they do get that. But as of right now, he has not.
It looks like it's Pittsburgh, Raiders, Broncos, Falcons, and Giants.
Giants,
top
right.
30s for Penix.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, Giants, of course, at 6 in the first round this year. So that's the team closest to the top of the draft. Penix, I think, did have a visit with the Denver Broncos, too. So that's just, maybe that was a confusion, the Bo Nix, Penix back and forth. Okay, so very good. So Evans dabbled on the Bo Nix front as far as his draft position or go in the first round. The prices are very similar. Bo Nix to go in the first round is at -175. Under 32.5 is also at -175. Anything else you'd like to add on Penix, or pardon me, on Bo Nix, Evan?
God, no. We've talked enough about a quarterback that I don't even really love, but it's fine. We're going to move on.
I know Jacob and Travis both have thoughts on some new markets available as it pertains to the wide receiver position and specific names. Jacob, why don't you start us with Brian Thomas and what catches your eye about him and what market is attractive?
Sure. So his over-under position market for the draft is currently sitting at 15.5 on one book, 16.5 on another book. Did see that get hit at open, I think, from the 16.5 on some steam on the under. And I think there's a chance he could be a top 10 pick, to be honest, as we get closer to the draft. Not forecasting that necessarily, but I think he's going to go a bit higher than people are initially expecting. When the Jaguars lost Calvin Ridley, I actually played some Jaguars stick a receiver at that point in time thinking, oh, maybe they'll get Brian Thomas, but I think he's going earlier, man. The Broncos, I think, are potentially in play at number 12. If they're not taking a quarterback there, their wide receiver room is not in good shape. They traded away Jerry Jeudy. Josh Reynolds did sign to a contract, but just a $1 million dead cap next year. And Cortland Sutton about to turn 29, Tim Patrick, 30 years old off of 20 ACL twice. They need a receiver badly. So could see him go in there. Colts, another potential landing spot, replacing Alec Pierce on the perimeter. You have Alec Pierce running wind sprints half the time for this team and could use another body out there. So I think there's a good chance Brian Thomas is going to go early in this draft and shake up this wide receiver market.
Okay. And a one-sided market in terms of guys going top 10, you can get a price on Brian Thomas Jr. at +650 to be a top 10 pick, just to speak to your first point. Travis Reed, another receiver. You echo some of the sentiments here from Jacob on Thomas, and there's another guy you're looking at as well who has a big last name.
Yeah, Brendan Rice out of USC. You may know his dad, Jerry. He's a little bit more famous, I think. So, yeah, when I was going through all these top 30 visits, his name just kept popping up on the list, and I was just kind of, all right, I'm going to actually look and see how many there are. There were seven total top 30 visits with Brendan Rice, and I always – most of the mocks I've looked at, if you look at like two round or three round mocks, he's in that day two discussion, like end of round two, start of round three. So that was a little bit surprising. There is a market for him to go 40-1 in the first round if you do think he's going to get that much steam. I'm not ready to take that jump yet, but I'm going to keep my eye on that one to see if those continue to add up. Maybe teams are just doing his dad a favor and try to get him some more, some pub out there. But it was definitely a name that caught my eye when I was going through all these visits of, okay, why is this USC receiver who didn't have a whole lot of, you know, flash, especially when you know, he's with the number one overall draft pick. You think he was going to get some star power along with that, plus his last name. So yeah, he's starting to get some visits from some teams that are definitely wide receiver needy. So I'm going to keep that back in mind and, you know, maybe take a stab when the timing's all right.
49ers, top 30 visit, the Broncos, yeah, who we've talked about in the Niners. That makes me think about Ayuk and the murkiness surrounding. I know they ended up giving Debo a contract, but they can't spend everywhere, right? Now, they're not spending on quarterback, as we know, with Brock Purdy. So they have some flexibility at the skill positions. So those are some teams to also keep in mind. Evan, you had a thought there on Brendan Rice?
No, it was more about Thomas. I wanted to poll the audience. I kind of agree with Jacob in terms of the rise of Thomas. I was looking at second wide receiver, and Thomas is 100-1. You have to shop around a little bit. I don't know. Probably not going to happen since so much of the hype is on Adunze and Neighbors. But if he does kind of – I see him mocked at like 9 and 11 at a few different spots as like his highest point. So he probably wouldn't get to that like six spot, which you'd probably need, but 100-1's fun. So I figured I'd bring it up.
Okay. Go ahead, Travis.
He's kind of polarizing because it seems like the mock drafter either has him at like 9 or 11 or like 25 or 28. Yeah. So like when you look, because I looked at the average and it was 22 was his average draft position of when I look at all the different mocks. But yeah, like you said, it's either way high or way low. So that's one of those where you can take advantage of that. Like you said, take the top 10 or something like that if you think he's really going to rise. Or you can, you know, take the over and get like plus 175 at, you know, over 16 and a half, something like that. So you can kind of play both sides of that market. You can get reverse middled. But if you think he's kind of an all or nothing, or, you know, the hype is going one way or the other, you can kind of play both sides there.
Seeing talking about Brendan Rice, Bears, which that adds up with the Caleb Williams connection, Cardinals, Chargers, all teams right now at the top of the draft. So something to keep an eye on for rookie wide receivers. There was a trade, not a Vikings trade up, but a trade that you all have thoughts on. And I'm fascinated by the line movement on this. Stephon Diggs was dealt from Buffalo to Houston. I think the latest reporting, just from a general NFL standpoint, this has nothing to do with the draft, the Texans are going to let Diggs go to the market after this year. So I don't think there's a deal in place to keep him around any longer. It's a see how it goes kind of year. The Texans are all in on this year with Diggs. So Travis, you brought this to our attention in our Slack channel that we get ready for the podcast in, and the price on Diggs, or pardon me, for the Bills position of first drafted player, minus 300, seeing some minus 240s now out there. What do we make of the price? Are the Bills going to go in this direction? Will it be receiver? Is there value in other positions now because of this uptick now that the Bills are without Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs?
Yeah, I think once the market has reacted, it's a good time to buy back on some of the other positions of need. The time to get in was before the trade, to get that receiver at a good price. And now I think you can take some of those other positions of need, whether that be, you know, defense. Really, you can kind of take a stab everywhere there because they've lost at all three levels. So, I think now is not the time to bet them to take a receiver, even though that is the most likely. That's why they're favored. So I think right now, if you want to look in other directions, like corner, safety, something like that, that would probably be the positions I would be looking to bet for the Bills right now.
Jacob, how about yourself? Any position in particular that you're eyeing with the Bills outside of receiver with that price change in the Diggs trade?
Yeah, well, speaking on receiver first for a minute, it is interesting because we just talked about Brian Thomas, how many people are hyping up Brian Thomas to the Bills now. That's going to take a big trade up at this point, I think, from 28. You have Jaden Daniels on his Instagram Live saying, with the 28th pick in the draft, the Bills select Brian Thomas. I'm like, you're selling your guy short there, man. Like he's going earlier than that at this point. But looking at some other positions, I think is the way to go now with the odds heavily skewed towards receiver with the Bills. Worth noting, too, that we are seeing under 6.5 receivers at around minus 175 for just the first round. So I think there's a chance that the Bills wait on receiver, honestly. Reminds me a bit of the, I think it was the Packers a few years ago when they very clearly needed a receiver after Devontae Adams had left, and they ended up waiting on it, even though everybody was mocking a receiver to them early. Could see them wait until the second round. I just don't think there's a huge tier break at the position past that top four. So once you get into that next tier of guys, like there's a lot of players on day two who I think could fill a need for them. But looking at some other positions there, I think corner is intriguing at plus 650. A couple of names to look out for there would be Ennis Rakestraw, I think, is a player who could be intriguing to them. And then defensive line edge at around plus 400 as well.
Okay. And as far as receiver, they have brought in Curtis Samuel, Mac Hollins. Are there dumpster diving signings to make up for what they have, but they want some top end talent, I'm sure. Evan, I'm curious, when we hit the Bills throughout the year, you were on the recap pods throughout the season on Mondays, and down the stretch when they made the change at offensive coordinator, try to implement a run game. I see O-line at 13-1, and they've made a few signings at O-line, but maybe the Bills are just trying to fully commit themselves with their moves and an unhappy receiver. So they just said, hey, we're going to move on and not give Gabe Davis a lot of money. But how about offensive line for Buffalo?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I don't think they're going to take receiver. I think they, ironically enough, they need a lot because they've lost a lot. And I don't think I would have thought that with Buffalo, but you kind of have to look at current depth charts and make a decision. And the decision is they've lost a lot, right? So I don't necessarily think wide receiver is the only thing they need. And I love the cornerback haul. Cornerback and D-line. So I saw 750 and 450. To me, those were the darts that I would probably throw at this point. 250 and 240 on the minus side for receiver is just way too chalky in my point of view, especially at that point later in the round. God, anything can happen, right? In terms of who falls and who doesn't. So those would be my stabs. And that's what I would believe in terms of what they need. And if anything, they might move out if they don't have it to get more picks to be able to get more players.
Okay. They gave Deion Dawkins at left tackle a big contract. I realize that. So maybe O-line's not where they're going to use their draft capital, but I'm just wondering, maybe they go all in on trying to give them a line. I mean,
I saw a top 30 visit for Neyland as well. So defensive line kind of fit that in that spot.
All right. So I think the overall consensus here is don't chase a minus 240, minus 300 number on receiver.
Yeah, especially like Evan said, late in the draft, because the later we get in that first round, there just more possibilities are out there. So you really don't want to be, you know, pigeonholing yourself into a bunch of favorites later in the draft when these drafts can go so sideways. So
okay. What's their draft capital situation? Meaning like, are they in the market to go trade for a guy now, possibly like an Ayuk or I'm throwing that out there. I don't know. Like what are they, are the Bills going to upgrade and go get a number one?
Hard for me to imagine with how many roster holes they have right now.
I know. I hear you. Yeah.
Be that aggressive. And we should say like, they're not totally barren there. Like I do think Dawson Knox has potential. And I think Kincaid, sorry. I always get those two mixed up in my head. Kincaid, I think, has a ton of potential as a true number one option in a passing offense. And then Khalil Shakir coming back as well. So they have some guys there. I don't know if they need to be super aggressive in the trade market, but that's kind of where my head's at.
It'd be weird to trade Diggs and then just flip around and then trade for Ayuk and pay him a ton of money. The whole reason they got into this situation is because they spent too much money. They're trying to kind of lower that tax bill back down. So I think they're going to just try to replenish with the draft. I actually like the call of trading out. If I were the Bills, maybe that's where somebody trades up to get that fifth quarterback we've been talking about. And then just try to get a couple of day two picks and try to hit on some receiver, some corner. They need to replace a center. So they, like Jacob said, they have quite a few holes that they need to try to get filled up.
Okay. So the Bills got a 2025 second rounder. That was kind of what I was getting at. I was curious if they got a pick for this year.
No third rounder hurts as well, especially in this draft. So you only have a one and a two, which is why I even brought up the, you know, trading the one to get a few more picks to fill up some spots.
Okay. Very good. The Action Network podcast is presented by North Carolina's newest sports book, BetMGM. Use the bonus code ACTION when signing up to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. For new users in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Any other markets that you guys are targeting, keeping your eyes on? I know we're repetitive about this every week, but when we don't have the Diggs trade was nice, something to discuss, but we don't have the Vikings. We don't have clarity on the quarterback situation. Take quarterback and receiver out of it. Travis, any markets that you that have popped up here that you're also eyeing?
Yeah, we mentioned the over-unders on players. Brock Bowers, obviously a huge tight end prospect. His over-under is 11.5. Which is just kind of intriguing because everyone kind of has him mocked to the Jets now at 10, but the under was even money. So that I kind of figured that would be the favorite there, considering how everyone's kind of just penciled him in to go to the Jets now. So that's one that definitely kind of caught my eye when looking through all these player over-unders.
Evan, you had a thought on Joe Alt.
Under 7.5. I can't read another mock draft that tells me he's going 7th. And not at least put some action on that. So I've taken the under 7.5. And I also mentioned, I believe on a previous podcast, I've got Fashanu as first tight end as like a long shot. The one thing I will say, and you could have started with this at the top of the show, it really gets kind of difficult at this point in terms of recommending positions when you don't know what positions other people have. So like early on, it's like, okay, let's start building portfolios. But a lot of this does depend on what you've already bet on initially so that you try to make a profit at the end of this versus looking on draft night and being like, well, I need like 1,000 things to happen and you know, can't be profitable anyway. So definitely make sure what you've already bet already before, you know, you start adding on some of these things we're recommending. So that's one thing I would preface.
Okay. I've got something to follow up on that in a second. Jacob, anything from your end on other markets that are available?
Yeah, the Brock Bowers one is definitely interesting. I think the Jets are in play for Brian Thomas too, by the way. Talked about that earlier, but another over-under market.
The Jets doing anything but trying to bolster an O-line and just go out and get more toys for the darkness quarterback.
Right. Well, that leads me back to the next player I was going to discuss is Talisa Fuanga. Over-under 13.5 right now. Still in play for the Jets at 10. I think they're not locked into a skill player. I think a lot of people are mocking that right now, but could definitely still see them going offensive line, but I love Fuanga's profile. Can get into some more of the nitty gritty about his scouting, but just go watch the Oregon State UCLA game. Absolutely dominant tape from him against one of the top pass rushers in this class, like Tuatu. No pressures allowed on 29 pass blocking snaps in that game. Looking at some of the teams near the top who I think could be in play for him, the Bears, I think, are definitely in play. Potentially for a left tackle need there. And then the Jets, just talked about them. The Chargers potentially at 11 if they trade down with the Vikings too. Everybody's mocking that trade with the Vikings moving up to get a quarterback. He could play right tackle there. Good fit across from Rashawn Slater, just more physicality up front. And we know Jim Harbaugh is looking to bolster that offensive line. Broncos at 12, Raiders at 13, potential for Fuanga as well. So I think the under 13.5 is a good bet right now.
Okay, very good. Just speaking to the draft talking heads, Daniel Jeremiah just put out his top 50 prospect list. It's not a mock draft. It's just his latest top 50 prospects available. Williams at 1, Marvin Harrison Jr. 2, Adunze at 3, Neighbors to 4. And then it goes through quarterbacks, Bowers at 7, Joe Alt at 8. Again, these are just top 50 prospects, according to Jeremiah. So sort of to Evan's point, and we can wrap with this. At what point, 2.5 weeks to go, and folks are trying to make sense of their portfolio, and this, again, Evan, to your point, relies heavily on what people have already bet or what they haven't bet, but if you have bet in certain markets and you've put together a plate of selections in your picks already, Travis, at what point do you start getting more aggressive with 2 weeks to go? Because now we're getting closer here, right? So when do you say... When does risk, there's risk involved no matter what, as we know, but when do you start maybe being a little more aggressive as we get closer? This might be a better question for next week too, but just we're getting to that point, right? We're finding out more information.
Yeah. In the next week or two, we'll actually get the full list of almost every visit. And that'll kind of clear some things up. And then what you'll also start to see is mock drafts kind of converge towards like the same things. And that usually means, okay, they've heard the same thing from insiders as somebody else. Mm-hmm. So that's when you can kind of start, okay, the market has said, or, you know, they're saying, here's what's going to happen. So now I'm going to start actually making some moves in the market. But yeah, I do agree with Evan. If you've already, you know, placed some bets on this guy's over and now he's getting steamed up, you don't want to just start betting the under now too. And just, you know, eating the vig there, just hold on to your position and just know it's probably not the best that you got. But I think we're about to that point where a lot of the information is going to start to come out and we'll have less speculation and more, okay, this is what I think is going to happen.
Jacob, anything to add on that front?
I got one more thing I think is actionable right now.
Okay.
That's cool.
Very good.
I think Cowboys first position drafted linebacker, currently available at 7-1 on one book, in the 400s at most places elsewhere. I think Edge Cooper might end up going in the first round here. He's 26 on Daniel Jeremiah's big board. He just referenced his top 50. He's met with the Cowboys at basically every step of this pre-evaluation process. And the Cowboys generally a team that don't hold things too close to the vest. With some of these visits, don't want to overreact because it happens all the time that a team won't bring a guy in for a visit and then they'll draft him anyways. But with Edge Cooper, I do think that the Cowboys have shown a ton of interest in him. Leighton Vander Esch, medically retired. The Cowboys did sign Eric Kendricks to a one-year contract, but he just turned 32. I don't know how much longevity he has with that franchise and definitely need a linebacker. Cooper is just kind of a perfect modern linebacker with his speed, his coverage ability, his blitzing, really kind of do-it-all guy. And really explosive chess piece to pair with Micah Parsons in that linebacker room.
Okay. And Evan, you had one more thought just on folks in the portfolios they put together in the argument of speculation versus calculation as we get closer to Detroit in draft night.
Yeah, just make sure you track them all, right? Track your bets, put a spreadsheet, make sure you have everything written out. I actually had an ad here from an actionable point of view. First of all, tip number 1, 2, and 3 is shop, right? Look at all your sports books. Make sure you look around and, you know, make sure you get the best price. And here's one example. One book I'm looking at right now has Bowers at 750 to go to the Bears. Another book has him at 14-1. So I kind of like the 14-1 as a flyer. I know many mocks aren't putting Bowers in that nine slot, but there was a top 30 visit there. They're going to draft Caleb One to get him a weapon like that. I you know, Dallas Turner, there's a lot of things that probably make more sense for Chicago, but at 14-1, I found that a little interesting. And then the other one we didn't talk about is exactas. So I saw those came out and I took a nibble at Caleb Jalen Drake at plus 125. It's 115 now. I think it's fine. And on the other way, Caleb Jalen JJ, which 8-1 now, plus 750. So that's what I touched. I think I've liked Jalen too, kind of the entire time. I know Jacob and I a little disagreed there, but that's the method I'm going with.
So you got there's no path for Evan Abrams to see May go to number two.
I don't see it. But again, you know, anything can happen.
Okay. Anyone else? Any final thoughts before we get out of here? Everyone good?
I would just say fade the consensus. I think we're at a point right now where everyone's mock drafts look the same. It's not going to happen that way. Like we've seen chaos on draft night every single year. So if you want to get different and find like a flyer on a position to a team that people aren't talking about, but you think there's a good reason for, like, don't be afraid to be different in these markets.
Giants QB. That's my different right now. I think if the Chargers stay put at five and don't, they're not in the market for a QB. I think the Giants probably just take one of the QBs at six. So I think that's a good way. Unfortunately, a lot of the books aren't putting that market up for Giants first position. So you have to find it some other way. But I'm leaning more and more towards that fourth quarterback just going to the Giants.
Right. Which is, that speaks to do not buy in on J.J. McCarthy being a top five pick as of right now.
Yeah. The later we get with the trade not happening, I think that's more and more likely that if he's there at six, I think the Giants are just going to take him or any
plus
of
five,
the
plus 550 right now. So that's not bad.
Yeah.
Plus 550 for
McCarthy to go to the Giants would be like the specific market.
Got it. Okay. Yep. Vikings at that Vikings price, which we've hit on, was minus 115 going back a few weeks. It was a even money last week. Now it's a plus 115 as we record 2 weeks away from the draft. Patriots plus 400. And as Evan called out, Giants plus 550. Commanders, Broncos, Raiders next. Okay, gents, we will do this again next week. We'll be back next Monday, April 15th, to get set for the 2024 NFL Draft. Be sure to find these guys. You can find Jacob. He's got coverage of the NFL Draft over at Action Network. I think you did a write-up last week, correct me if I'm wrong, on Big Ten, right? Guys that get selected in the Big Ten, Jacob?
Yeah, kind of a conference overview. They drop markets for over-under for positions by conference. So Big Ten, SEC, ACC, all that.
Okay, very good. For Jacob Wayne, Travis Reed, and Evan Abrams, Brendan Glasheen, we return next Monday for another NFL Draft betting preview leading up to April 25th in Detroit. My name is Brendan Glasheen. Thanks for tuning in to the Action Network podcast presented by BetMGM. We'll talk to you next time.
Action Network reminds you, please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you care about has a gambling problem, help is available 24/7 at 1-800-GAMBLER.